So last week we started a sermon series, First Things. I'm going to say this at the outset of every sermon, but I believe that we're called to do some great things. And you know what, even I would say what's happening today through our church is because we've said, Lord, we want to dedicate ourselves to you. And God can trust us. We can trust us with a blessing that we can bless others. But last week, my message was bind the strong man. Jesus said, how can someone take the goods of the strong man and the strong man's house, talking about people in this earth that are not saved and the things that the enemy would like to take control of. He said, how can you take that unless you first bind the strong man? You must bind the strong man. And we know that Jesus bound Satan and his dominion and power, but we also must bind him in our life if we are to see the things that God has for us. There is no forced liberation in the kingdom of God. You must want to be free and walk into that freedom. So last week, first, bind the strong man. Today we're continuing our series on First Things, because God has many great things for us to do, but we can't do great things unless we do first things. But if we'll do first things, if we'll take care of the first things, God will take care of so many other things, so many great things. Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus speaking, strong verses. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Man, that's a tough word. I want to talk about that word today a little bit, because in this passage, used correctly, used rightly, uses a word of correction and instruction, but I fear this word, fear of this word, stigma around this word would keep many from darkening the door of a church. Fear of what will people think? Will I carry this label? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But in this passage, Jesus uses it correctly, strongly, needed. Hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first. Everybody say first. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. My message today is first cleanse within. First cleanse within. Amen. You can be seated this afternoon. We see that this is a strong passage that you read, Matthew 23. It contains seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus giving some pretty strong language, some pretty strong rebuke, some pretty strong things to religious people. And today I want to preach this message, and I want you to know from the outset that it is a hard message to preach and a hard message to hear, because the truth is, if we are not careful, we will find ourselves on the receiving end of the same type of rebuke and spirit of a Pharisee that Jesus would speak to and say, woe, if we're not careful. The further we go in the things of God, the longer we follow after God, the more we do for God, the more we get involved in some of the things that we do, the more there is a danger and even a temptation, if you will, that we would ourselves become like a Pharisee. It's a danger for us. And, you know, it's interesting in this case, they contain so much excess and so much of this, but Jesus never condemned a full cup as an unholy thing. We can see that, you know, we would look at the content of the cup, as it were, to be spiritual and natural. There's a marriage of the things that are purely spiritual and those that occur in the natural. And, you know, sometimes we, I think, mistakenly try to create such a perfect divide between that which is spiritual and that which is secular. But really, those distinctions we don't see reflected in the words of Jesus. In fact, this hardline distinction between clean and unclean was a form of religion that Jesus destroyed in his time on earth in the way that it was perceived before his coming. But one, it's one that we struggle with today. And you know, Jesus said in different times, in different ways, I didn't come to just destroy or do away with the law, but to fulfill it. There are principles that we understand that we can glean. And yet we see that in this time, they were so obsessed with making sure everything looked the right way. They were so obsessed with going through all of the right procedures and doing all the right stuff, while all the while neglecting the things that really mattered. So today, at the outset of this message, I want to just declare to you that what we need in 2025, what we need first things is we need righteousness, not ritual. We don't need ritual for the sake of ritual. We need righteousness, not ritual. Because today you can proclaim Jesus in his house, but deny him at work. You can appear religious to me and today, and you can shake the hand of the person next to you, and you can smile the right way, and you can practice all of the right rituals, but it's only a ritual. If what you practice is only about your appearance and not an expression of your life, you will, as the Pharisees, begin to prioritize outward cleansing over inward cleansing. Why? Because if this becomes your mindset, you will only clean that which gets you more affirmation. Hear me today. You will clean what is affirmed in your life, what other people see and perceive and know of you and experience of you. You will only clean that which brings you affirmation, not that which brings you closer to God. But some of the things that bring you the closest to God are the things that are wholly unseen by the outside world. So as we step into this new year, we have Bound the Strong Man. We had an incredible service last Sunday, a powerful move of God. But today, I want to declare to you that if you want there to be a lasting change, it can't just be an impulse in a moment, but a decision to say, if I'm going to do anything for God, if anything good is going to come out of me, first I must cleanse within. And that's a call for each and every one of us, especially those that have been around the things of God the longest. Because the danger is, I know what'll get me affirmation. I know how to look the part. I know how to play the part. I know how to speak all the right things. But let me just turn this scripture on myself, because guess what? I could be the most guilty. So let me just tell myself, and maybe also tell you a little bit, that woe to me if I stand here and say this and that, and I try to proclaim all these things, but they're not reflected in my personal life. Oh, let today be a commitment that I say, oh, God, if I want anything good to come out of me, first cleanse within, God. You've got to cleanse my spirit. Nobody may ever see it. Nobody may understand my personal devotion. But if I hope to do anything publicly, oh God, you've got to cleanse within first. First cleanse within. We have a natural proclivity to clean what people see more than what God sees. Both are important, but the question is, where do you start? Matthew 23, a couple verses earlier, the New Living Translation, look at this. Verse 23 of Matthew 23, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes. I thought tithe was just an Old Testament thing. Well, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. You want hard preaching? That's hard preaching. So even in this, Jesus doesn't say, oh, you know what, all that stuff you're doing, tithing, all that stuff, you know what, forget all that. It's not about, no, he doesn't say that. He says, yes, you should, but not at the expense of the spirit in which it should be done. And he says, that's where you're getting it wrong. The sin of the Pharisees is still with us today. It's the temptation. It happens when we trick ourselves into thinking that regular church attendance, which is wonderful, serving in ministry, which is good, being on the platform, which is great, giving to the things of God, which we're doing today, which is wonderful, praying in public, that these things, which are good, excuse us from the necessity of personal devotion. That's the temptation that we face today. You face it. And church, we've got to get this right. We have to get this right. We've got to get this right because we've got to clean the inside of the cup first. We have to make sure that our spirit is right, our motives are right, and we're pursuing God with all that we have this year. Let me say it this way, and I know this is strong preaching, but without righteousness, without pursuing God personally, everything that you and I do here is a mockery of the things of God. If I stand here today without a personal desire to know Him, without a personal desire to pursue Him with everything I am, if I'm just here playing a game with you today, if I'm just here trying to look the part, I am mocking God. And if we come in here as some kind of ritual, thinking that this is all it is, then we are mocking God in our personal life. I'm here to preach today that it's got to be more than this. Yes, this is great, but if this is all there is, you've missed the point. You should be doing more at home. You should be praying at home. You should be leading at home. You should be giving when nobody sees it. If we're going to give in public, that's great. But what about in private? Are we charitable? I'm telling you, you've got to clean the inside first. Clean the inside first. We've got to get this right. We've got to get this right. If we want anything good to be produced in our life this year, we've got to get it right. If we want goodness to flow out of us, we've got to make sure that there's not contaminants within us. And by nature, we all have them. We all have them. And it's dangerous to be a hypocrite when we continually profess the opposite of how we continually live. It's living in a way that you say you do one thing, you act one way, but you are not that way. You intentionally deceive everyone for the purpose of creating an appearance that is not what you desire to live in your personal life. It's when you say, look how clean I am, do this, follow this, when you well know that you are full of sin, full of secrets that you are living in. And let me just pause. Because I recognize and realize that what I am saying is counterculture, because culture would tell me that the most important thing today here is your feelings. Making sure I don't hurt your feelings. But when I look at the words of Jesus, He looked at the religious leaders and He said, you know what? If I could put it in a word, hypocrite. If I could put it in one word, hypocrite. So I'm not going to apologize for stepping on your toes today here. I hope that you would say like I do, Lord, if I see it in the scripture, then I want to look at it and say, God, if it's me, I need you to pierce my heart today. God, if this is something that lives within me, I need you to take it out of me today. It may hurt, but I need it. It may be difficult, but I need to hear it. It may be difficult to change, but the word of God, sometimes it comforts me, but sometimes it pierces me. And sometimes it challenges me, and sometimes it changes me, and that's what has to happen today. But let me just stop today for a moment, because I also know, as I said at the outset, this word hypocrite, it's a dangerous word, because we are by nature, we judge what we see. We can't help but do so. We judge a situation by what we see, and we react accordingly. If you see a road that veers off, or if you see something in the road, you judge and you stop your car because you understand you have to make judgments about situations in your life. And so we, by nature, we judge everything around us. But it's a dangerous thing. But let me just pause, because I believe there are so many people, number one, that are maybe not even here today in our local assembly or not in a church today because of this word and their fear of it. Hypocrite. If I go to church with people that know what I've done, they will know I'm a hypocrite. I would also extend that to even people in this room, because there are also people that you may be here, but the fear of the label of hypocrisy has glued you to your pew. And there are things that maybe God has spoken into your life, ministry, desires, things that He has desired for you to do, but you haven't done them. You haven't even stepped out of your pew physically or proverbially because you're afraid of what other people are going to think about you, because you feel like you are a hypocrite. And I recognize that today, a message like this if we're not careful, if it's received in the wrong way or if it's received in the wrong spirit, you would take it and you would heap it on the already large pile of self-condemnation that weighs you down and keeps you stuck in your pew. So I just need to pause for a moment and speak over those people today, that if you are here desiring to do your best for God, it does not mean that you are a hypocrite. Let me tell you what, if someone that wants to come out from under depression, that wants to come out from under self-condemnation, if you have made a mistake, that does not make you a hypocrite. If you are in this place today and you're saying, I want to right my wrongs, I want to walk forward in God, you are not a hypocrite today. Raising your hands in worship when you made a mistake this week does not make you a hypocrite. Stepping out of your pew and coming down to the front and kneeling at an altar does not make you a hypocrite. And nobody in this room is going to think you're a hypocrite, because that's the kind of church we are. If you want to get back up when you fall down, this is the place you can do it. You're not a hypocrite. You're human. You need to get up today and stop thinking that way about yourself. That's the power of the enemy over you. He's trying to speak into your identity. But let me just declare to somebody today, God is the God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. You got to get back up. You're not a hypocrite. You're human. You're not a second-rate citizen. God loves you. God has a future for you, and we're here for it. We're here to help you. We're here to push you forward. We're here to pick you up. We're here to set you on a place and say, God can help you, and we'll be beside you. Oh, can we thank God today? Aren't you thankful God didn't leave you where he found you? Aren't you thankful that God didn't just abandon you when you made a mistake? Oh, there's people here today that you should be rejoicing, because you were a hypocrite, but by the mercy and grace of God, you're standing here today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Someone needs to accept that in your spirit today. You are not a hypocrite. You're human. You made mistakes, but you're not a hypocrite. You are not called to be perfect. You are not called to obtain perfection in this life. You never will. You are called to press forward. You will never be perfect. As long as you're breathing air, you will never be perfect. But one who was and is perfect, have stepped in, has stepped in for you and said, I will make a way for you today. Last week, we spoke about binding the strong man. But look at what the author of Philippians says. In Philippians 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to shift to the ESV for verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But look what he says. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Let me just say once again today, you are not a second-rate citizen in the kingdom of God. You are not a second-class person. You are not a mistake. What are you? You're a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of another world. I don't care what's happened in your body, in your mind. Why? Because there is a God that is coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. It's Jesus Christ, and one day we will join him and you will be made perfect. Oh, aren't you thankful today? Aren't you thankful you're not a second-rate citizen? You're not a second-rate saint. You're not a second-rate person. You're a citizen of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But we are called to first cleanse within. First cleanse within. I I don't believe God is displeased if you do well, if you prosper. I don't think the question is how much do you have. I think the question is how much and by what means did you gain it? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in life. Is it honest? Is it dishonest? Are you stewarding? Are you giving everything to God? How much can God trust you with? Are you trustworthy to be a steward, to surrender, to submit those things to the Lord? We know today that the contents of the cup stand for more than just meat and drink, but rather how we do all things, how we steward all things. Like the Pharisees in their time, in their way, our culture is so full of excess, abundance, decadence, extortion, abuse. We can be so full in our life, but if we're not careful, we'll be overflowing with the wrong things. Now, when examining this example of the cup and the platter and the rebuke of the Pharisees, you may turn to the idea that, well, maybe Jesus was against organization or religion or everything that was happening at the time. That's not the case at all. Jesus didn't have issues with many of the formal expressions of religion. He went to synagogues. He went to temples to worship. He taught men to pray. He instituted things that we practice, like baptism, the Last Supper, communion. But what we do see is that all of these things are secondary to Jesus. It's a secondary thing. Why? All of these forms of worship are not, and if I can say it this way, this is not maybe a perfect analogy, but they're not meant to be ritual. They're meant to be expression. They're not just a ritual that then completes the necessary thing. It is an expression of something that is happening. We have to understand that. I can say it this way. The power of God, what we do here at church, the coming together of the body, all of these things, it can only influence your life if Jesus rules your heart. All of this, if it is just ritual to you, it will only be ritual and nothing else. And the danger is, if we look to this as the box to check, I did my religious thing, and it's not actually an expression. If this is the only thing that we do, if we feel like this is the measurement of what we're supposed to do, it's like cleaning the outside of the cup. You could argue that us coming here, if we're not careful, this can be like the outside of the cup. I did it. I put on my suit. I got here and I did my thing. But if what is happening here on Sunday is the sum total of our walk with God, we've missed it and it's ritual. But if this is a piece of the puzzle and an expression of what is happening Monday through Saturday, then we can say that, you know what? I've committed to cleansing the cup within first, and then the outside will be clean. Do you understand the distinction? So the danger for you and I, if you become a regular member, okay, I don't even like that word, regular member. We're members of the body of Christ. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go find my message, member, not a member. We're not members of a country club. We're parts of a whole. We're parts of a body, and we have a function. We don't just sit back and say, okay, I'm a member, so I get benefits now. No, we say, I'm a member. I got to plug in and do my job and do my part. Why? Because I'm a member of the body of Christ. But if I want to be a functioning member, I've got to do some things on Monday through Saturday. I can't just come to church and act the part and think that I'm doing what God has called me to do. No, it can't be a ritual. It's got to be an expression of what's happening. Stand with me today. I'm coming to a close. I'm not preaching long today. But here's the truth. This is why we're doing this month. We're setting aside time to pray and fast. We're working on cleansing that inward man. Fasting is not something seen by everyone around you. It's not visible to the naked eye. It's intentional between you and the Lord. We purposefully don't just speak about every detail of it because it's not about our pride. And yes, we're doing it collectively, so there's a collective understanding that we're fasting. But the point of this is fasting is something that is between me and the Lord that I dedicate and consecrate myself. It's an example of fasting in itself. It's not just the completion of all of our duties, but it is an example of how we should do things. We don't get through 21 days of prayer and fasting and say, great, I did my job, I'm done. No, it says, that is how we set the tone for our year. That is how we set the pace. That is what we do. This is who we are. This is a part of an expression, not a ritual in and of itself. But we've got to cleanse the inside first. And Pastor John's going to help me with this, just a very simple way to show this to you because here's the deal. The more you get around the body of Christ, the deeper in your walk with God you go. Listen to me. The more you get involved in public ministry, the more you serve in other areas, the longer in church, the longer you go, the more motivation you have to do things that please others versus please God. That is a reality of our existence. I have a very high motivation for you to think a certain way about me. But if I'm not careful, I would say I may be the most susceptible. Why? Because a lot's at stake to make sure that I'm presenting the right thing. But I'm here to tell you that, you know what? Yes, and I'm sorry, camera people. But yeah, that's great. The platform's great. And I'm thankful for it. But I'm no different. If I can't look at my own life and say, Lord, I got to cleanse within. None of this stuff matters. Do you understand what I'm saying? None of this matters. If this is a ritual to me, it's just not an expression, I've missed it. I missed it. I missed it. You got to understand this. This is how we have to begin this year. Is saying, Lord, I want to do great things. I want our church to go great places. And that's great. But none of that can happen if I don't cleanse the inside first. I got to cleanse within first. Only then can God really do what he wants to do in my spirit, in our church. As a volunteer, as someone that, as a leader, as speak to our church leadership, I know you want people to think a certain way about you, and that's wonderful, but we can't be swayed by the desire to look one way for others, the outside of our cup. Only, we have to have a desire to be truly clean, to do things for the right reason, to honor God in all things. What am I saying? I'm saying first, cleanse within. I desire that today. I know you do too. And just very simply, as we come to a close, we have this cup. Again, it looks good, clean on the outside. But if I were to just try to spill some of the contents, I clearly realize that inside of this cup, it's not clean. And use this as an example today. So, okay, how do I clean the cup? Well, first of all, there's things that we can do. There's things that you need to do. Maybe there's some things you need to empty out of your life. Now, this is coffee, not dirt, so it's actually, I do like coffee. But you probably wouldn't want to drink coffee grounds. And so, yes, right now, cleanse within. There's things you know you got to get out. There's things you know you got to change. But you know what? If I just dump this cup out, it really wouldn't be clean. This cup does not have the ability within itself to cleanse itself from everything, right? I don't know how it is at your home. Sometimes I feel like just running some hot water over a cup is sufficient to clean it. Other people in my home have a different opinion. But today, what I'm saying is you can't fully cleanse yourself by your works. It is not within yourself to do it. Yes, you have a responsibility. Dump some things out. Dump some things out. Get some things out. But what you have to understand today is that we serve a God, and what he wants to do and what's going to happen today at this altar call is if there's some contaminants in here. But I want you to recognize, first of all, just to fill this cup would not cleanse it. It has to be filled from a reservoir much bigger, with much more resources, much more volume. And this picture is not an example of that at all, not even in the slightest. But the truth is, what happens is as you pray, as you allow God to speak to you, not only does he pour into you, but some of these contaminants can come out. And there's a cleansing. And I recognize that as I pour into this cup, those things that flow in, flow out, and cleanse the entirety of the cup. And so this is what I'm saying today. This is what's about to happen in this altar call. Is two things. Number one, there's some things you got to clean out yourself, yes. But God is going to begin to pour into you. And that pouring into you can cleanse There's things you may have had for years that you don't know how to get it out. You can't clean it. There's not enough soap. There's not enough Dawn dish soap in the world to get some of the things out of your spirit. But guess what? When God begins to pour into you, He can find all the contaminants. He can take all those things and cleanse them. But not only that, He doesn't just clean you. How is the cup left? The cup is not left empty with contaminants. The cup is left clean and full. That's what God wants to do for you today. God wants to cleanse your cup. God wants to cleanse your spirit. God wants to cleanse some things out of your life. But if you commit to first cleanse within, now, moving forward, now there are some things that can be poured out of this cup. You know why? Because there's some ministry for you to do. There's some things that God wants to pour out of you this year. There's some things that God wants to activate in you this year. There's some things that God wants to use you to do this year. But first, He's got to fill your cup. He's got to cleanse you from within, and then He's got to fill your cup. And only then, when I'm pure from the inside out, only then when I'm full of His Spirit, am I now in a position to speak into others. So I'm talking to somebody. You're carrying some past trauma. God wants to cleanse it today. You've got some sin in your life. You're not a hypocrite. You're a human. And today's the day that you're going to say, God, cleanse me within. So right now, everything that I've read from the Word of God, I know I've been straight. I know I've just been preaching what it says. I know I may have hurt your feelings. And if that's the case, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. But I hope you can see through that and understand that, Lord, your Word has got to change me. So right now, I would ask as a church, could we come down around to this front? And can we begin to pray? And can we commit ourselves saying, God, I need you to cleanse me from within, God. I need you to pour into me some things. I need you to get some contaminants out of my spirit. There's some things I don't want to keep carrying around with me, because what I know about those things is it contaminates everything. If you carry that around in your life, it's going to just keep contaminating everything that God brings in your life. Let Him cleanse you today. Let Him clean you out today. Yes, God, we need you, Lord. We need you to cleanse us from within. That's it. First cleanse within. Can we pray today? Let God do it. Let God do it for you. Let God do it for your family. Oh God, first cleanse within.